Hey folks, I'm Daryl Frank, and you're listening to Frankly Speaking, where we tell stories of extraordinary people of the Seacoast. And for our first episode, we have Mary Carey Foley and her brother Barry Foley, and we're going to talk about the first family status, if you will, from not just my opinion, but many other people in the Seacoast area, and what Mary Carey and Barry's grandmother started. Some of you may know her as Mary Carey Dondero. And yes, that is, the school is named in her honor. It was kind of unique doing some of the prep work for this and seeing, you know, Bill Keefe's name get that started on naming that.
Yep.
So, Barry, Mary Carey, welcome to the first episode ever.
Thank you.
Very nice. Honored.
Thank you for the invite. Thank you very much.
All good. And I would be remiss if I didn't introduce my engineer, Jeff, who is here. He will not be, as we evolve into a regular listen to podcast, a silent member of the group. He will definitely be coming into many conversations. Let's talk about your grandmother for a second, and what I kind of think I would like to do, if you guys are okay with it, let's talk about some of her accomplishments. So I'm just gonna kind of throw it out there, and then we'll fill in some of the stories and your memories of that. So 1934, elected to the New Hampshire General Court, which is known today as state legislature. 1940, first woman elected to city council for the city of Portsmouth. And this is where I kind of find it very interesting, is the first woman elected city of Portsmouth, 1945. Also, in working and looking and doing some of the research, the first woman mayor east of the Mississippi.
Yes.
That's right.
That's correct.
East of the Mississippi, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to go a little bit deeper. The Portsmouth Exchange Club Golden Deed Award. Now, what I found with that is the Exchange Club is really, it's a national organization that recognizes students who are children of veterans or grandkids and first responders. Okay? Her other political involvement, she was a delegate to the New Hampshire Constitutional Convention. She was postmaster of Portsmouth. Where did she find the time? Chairman of the school board, Democratic state chairman, clerk of the Democratic County Group, and a delegate for the Democratic National Convention.
Right.
Still good so far, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then we have club activities. She was a member of the Women's City Club, the American Legion Auxiliary. Past president of the Knights of Columbus Auxiliary.
That sounds right.
Okay. Yeah. Charter member and past president of the Emblem Club, which is, I know, is another affiliation with, I guess I'm just going to say it because we're frankly speaking, of the Emblem Club, which is an extension of a woman's organization within the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Okay. President of the Portsmouth Shelter for Small Animals, member of the Service Mothers Club, Hospital Guild, the American Red Cross, the YMCA, the Order of Women's Legislators, the Alter Society, Adult CYO Council, and also annual chairman for the Tag Day for Crippled Children and Handicapped People. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Now, all of that without a high school education.
That's right.
How? Not to mention, and we left out, right? We left out the, I know in talking with you, Mary Carey, she had, you remember the funeral home, the assisted living facility in Stratham. Mm-hmm. She also had one in Portsmouth?
Yeah, on Islington Street.
401.
Islington Street.
Wait a minute, 401?
401 Islington.
I think it was across from what's like up where Bread Box is on the other side.
Yep.
It used to be Eli Bowick's.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
yeah.
I do.
Well, that's true. Yeah, Eli
Bowick's.
Yes, Bowick's.
I do.
Yeah.
So how does she, or what are your earliest memories? Because I know that she passed in 1960.
Yeah.
So what are some of your early memories of someone so driven?
I'll be honest with you, and not to pass the buck on this one, I was only, would have been four.
Yeah.
So I don't, I kind of remember her, but I really don't remember a lot. Mary would be more to say stuff about Grammy than I would.
Yeah.
I just remember all the, you know, all the stories and stuff that I heard, like the part about, you know, having a wake at the house and that kind of those kind of things. But I just remember everyone saying when I was a young kid that she was, you know, bigger than life.
Yep.
You know, for sure. Before my mother's stuff, you know, took off. So
yeah.
Then the naming of the school, which lasts, you know, forever. So
yeah.
But the personal stuff, you'd probably be better with you.
Right, right. I remember walking through the nursing home on Islington Street with her. And she, we would say hello to all the residents there. And of course, they had a little candy for me, the granddaughter. And then we'd go downstairs and we'd have tea and toast.
Yeah.
And that was... That was very special that I got to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, when she was in the legislature.
Yeah.
She would take me with her. And boy, did I think I was somebody special.
Up to, now this, up to Concord. Yeah.
Yeah, up in Concord. And I would drive with her up to Concord. And I just thought I was so important.
You are, kid.
With Mary Carey Dondero. Mary Carey Dondero. There, and I met all kinds of people,
and
I can see how much she was loved.
Yeah.
I could see it, you know.
Yeah.
Same with my mother. You could, if you're with her, if you were with my mother, then you know that she's loved.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody just wants to talk to her and see her and have a picture taken. Same way with my grandmother. And if I behaved while I was there, we got to stop at, what's the name of the restaurant? We'd stop and get ice cream on the way home.
Johnson's Dairy Bar.
Johnson's Dairy Bar.
So that it's been, because that's what, that when we go up, when my dad passed in Bosquen, we'd stop there, and I forget, there was one time, Bree will always talk about Johnson's, and it's like my father gave her this shrimp cocktail sauce instead of ketchup. And
John. And,
I think it's still there.
Oh, it is, and it's expanded. They have a brewery. And
George's Dairy Bar.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
In fact, Bree, I'll mention something about Dylan at some point in time too. But
I'll make sure you do.
We're in Johnson's, and it was actually my dad's service, or some. We're coming back. Maybe it was a Veterans Day service. That's what it was. Gene Shaheen was in there. So, and she made her way to the restroom. Well, Bree had to go in, and I washed my hands while Gene Shaheen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We were in the same room.
Yeah.
It's like, relax, Bree.
Yeah. Right.
That's funny.
Right.
Yeah, but it was at Johnson's where it happened.
So. Absolutely.
Wow. So you were stopping there for ice cream.
Yeah. So
it was just an ice cream stand at that time? Because now it's a full restaurant.
I think it was just ice cream then.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And then when any of us would drive there with my mother when she was in the state senate.
Yeah.
We'd stop.
Oh, we always stopped there, yeah.
And I think by then there was lunch, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah, because I think they were like kind of like that big scoop, the old big scoop where they'd have burgers off to the side there and that sort of thing.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. So, what else do you have for me?
She was really quite the dresser.
Yeah.
She had absolutely gorgeous clothes, and she always had the wraps, you know, the furs around, not expensive furs,
but
hats.
And hats.
Yeah.
And she just loved owning the nursing homes.
Yeah.
She really and truly did.
That's awesome.
And we learned a lot about respecting the elderly through all that. We can probably go through the building and we can tell you, you know, what was the woman that was, Ella Foss, remember her?
Yeah, there was.
She's right in the front building. She was 99. She turned 100 when she was there. And
awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It was that, and that was actually on Islington Street.
Yeah.
I
remember one of the pictures of your grandmother. Is I think she's, and it's. I'm just going to refer to my notes real quick. It's the photo where she's sitting in front of the fireplace reading the newspaper. I think it's like when she had been elected.
Oh yeah, I remember that picture.
That's.
Oh yeah.
See, I did my homework.
Yeah, she did.
Didn't do it in high school. I didn't do it in high school, but I do it now. You know. All right. And it's funny that you say that about, not funny, it's ironic, you know, that you picked up on that about your grandmother, because in one of the quotes I felt like we should kind of talk about, it kind of reflects exactly that. It wasn't just that, because, and I had to look up when I was doing the prep, was the Governor Wilson Wesley Powell at the school right. dedication
right.
said, a friend to our hometown, devotion to her neighbors, the community, and the state, fought hard for the party of her persuasion, but once the campaigns were over, put the interest of the state first, which I think is where, and I won't get in, we talked about, we're not going to get into Paul, but that is such a rare...
No, absolutely.
To have that and be recognized by that, with the interests of her party and herself second.
My mother is the same way.
We got quotes to back that up too. So.
Yeah.
No, that makes that's nice to hear. Even way back then, you know.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, it's she was. That just tells you that's a bona fide person that's in it for the right reasons. And I still think it's kind of cool too, is because growing up, I can remember my father watching the city council meetings.
Oh yeah,
on Channel 12.
Yeah, no question.
And ironically, my first high school job was with Continental Cablevision, and Chuck Mancuso was always down there.
Chuck Mancuso.
Yeah, yeah, good guy, real good guy.
Yeah.
But Bill Keefe is the one that initiated the naming of the school for your grandmother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he was still on the city council, you have that tenureship that
I know.
That was there. It was always mm-hmm. Bill Keefe, you know, your mom. You know, I don't know if Evelyn Sorrell was there at that, but you know who I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh,
the usual play. Not
yeah.
the usual play.
Yeah.
But it was always what's good for the town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No question.
You know,
I agree
so,
with you.
You know, it's just
no question.
Yeah. The groundwork is kind of laid down for, you know, it's almost like the foundation has been set forth by your grandmother. Now your mom comes into the picture. And, you know, we can talk about her accomplishments. I mean, my God.
I know.
But let's talk about Dad for a little bit, if you don't mind.
Of course.
You know, your mom was such a force. It takes a strong guy to be able to...
Sure. No, no
to be
quite.
Able to... Not handle that, but to... be. It struck me, not knowing your dad, strong, silent, leader type.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, and there wasn't a whole lot in me be able to look at or find out. So this is where I kind of want to kind of segue into 2 years of POW in Germany.
2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he never talked about it.
Very, very little talk about it.
Yeah.
He talked a little bit about it, but you didn't bring it up a lot because he didn't like say, you know, I don't want to talk, you know, I really don't want to talk about it, but he wouldn't talk about it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, he'd joke about stuff, you know, whatever that went on and stuff. You know, they stayed on, they worked on a farm, I know, and they had to sleep out in a big barn, and their bed was hay and all that kind of stuff. But didn't really talk, you know, you know, a lot of the stories. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was like 20 months. He was there.
Wow.
So it was...
Was that one or two? My time...
Two. Yeah.
Okay. And so people know what I'm talking about. Was it World War One or two? So, okay. And then talking with Mary Carey the other night, you made the reference, we're peanut butter and jelly kids.
Yeah, well,
Because he couldn't...
He couldn't stand the smell of tuna fish.
No.
Because he had it. Every single day when he was in the POW. So, you know, my mother would make it.
Yeah.
But not very often. Not very often. And she'd get up in the middle of the night and make it and spray or whatever. So when he got up, he didn't have to smell it. Because, you know, good Catholics, we couldn't eat meat on Fridays.
That's
I wanted my tuna fish.
That's actually true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's... So, and Dad... Dad, when he came back, became a draftsman?
Draftsman at the shipyard.
Yeah, shipyard. Yep.
Worked at the shipyard until...
Yeah.
Oh, he retired the end of the 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
I was in eighth grade maybe or something.
Yeah.
So he retired early. Well, not early, I guess. He got married later, and then he worked as the clerk of the works for what is now Feaster Apartments.
Okay.
When they built that on...
Yeah.
What street? State Street?
No, Court Street. Court Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, his mother lived across the street, so he'd walk over there for lunch.
Oh, okay.
He was in a trailer. He worked there, and then he worked, believe it or not, selling lottery tickets at the Hampton Toll, like a little building that was next to the Hampton. Right, there was a side building there that sold sweepstake tickets.
Okay.
So he worked in there. So after he retired from the shipyard.
Right.
So.
Wow. Now I'm going to sound complete ignorant. I didn't realize that they had, I'm not going to say back then, but I didn't realize, you know, you always kind of see what the lottery is today.
Yeah.
I kind of grew up with that.
You literally would get off the highway and park and go in this building, which was right next to the toll booth.
Yeah.
And you'd buy sweepstake tickets. They called them sweepstake tickets at the time.
Yeah.
I remember it.
Yeah.
You know.
I remember kids nowadays, there's probably some kids already driving a toll booth. What's that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like, yeah, that's right.
I actually used to work at that toll booth.
Really?
In college, in the summer.
Kidding.
You did?
I did.
When Dad was
working? Yeah.
I worked in the summer. Oh.
You get people, that be wise guys, go up and ask you to sell toll house cookies.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that got old.
Kim, my wife, her father's wife's parents, he worked at the toll booth.
Oh, there
you
go. For the
longest time, yeah. I got it right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Do you remember what a toll booth is? Okay. You're a lot younger, Jeff. You're a lot younger, so.
Do you remember what a toll booth
is? We used to have knucklehead buddies that would try and throw the quarters over from the passenger side over the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Idiots.
Yeah.
But I was part of that group. So
no.
Oh, I get it.
You know. So how did Mom and Dad meet? How did they get together?
You know that better. Was it the Legion?
The American Legion.
Yeah, you know the story.
And, they met. They met there. And
was it like a dance or was it a function? Or was it?
No, they were just in the bar.
Yeah.
And they were kind of eyeing each other.
Yeah.
And the joke of the family is that he said, you know, would you like a drink? And my mother said, sure. And she ended up paying for it.
That's funny.
You know, because we used to always bug him about that. He paid for it. She paid for the drink that he offered.
That's what it was.
So the American Legion
funny.
And they were American Legion members for
years.
It's
probably a dollar at the time.
Years.
Is that where the singing of Danny Boy would come into play? Because one of the articles that I read was like you could also find Eileen and your dad,
John.
Singing Danny Boy and Eileen clapping.
Yeah, no,
yeah, that. Yeah.
So
probably not long after that, he used to go down there.
He performed all over the Portsmouth.
Really?
But it wasn't just always around St. Patrick's time.
No.
It might
just be
a freak. I mean, I don't think he did it a lot. I don't think they went a lot.
He did it when they asked him.
Well, no, they did it when they asked him. I you're right, but it wasn't like it was a Saturday ritual.
Oh no,
right?
No,
I see what
you
said. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
They didn't advertise it.
No,
come see John Foley. Say,
John and Eileen now appearing at.
Yeah,
the most he would get all kinds of press when he would sing at the press room.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That was that was
every
later.
Single and Bob Sullivan would get different people would get up and sing with him. And there was one note that my mother used to, and I'll be here, and she just would go like this because he never was able to get it.
It wasn't very good at it.
It was like, I wasn't good with that note. And I'll be here, and sometime, I'll be here, and sometime, and sometime, sunshine and shadow, I forget, but oh my God, my mother, we used to die. We used to die when he'd sing that part of it. But he was a great, great guy. Great sense of humor.
Yeah.
He would accompany my mother, you know, to dinners.
Yep.
Didn't always go to all of them, because he would. She would say, "John, you want to go out to Jochen's? Where I'm going out there. Well, am I going to sit at the head table? Yes. No.
Oh, he wanted to be in the background.
What's the menu? No, he wanted to sit.
He wanted to sit at the head table.
He had to sit at the front at the head table.
Yeah.
And he had to know what the food was, and then he'd go. If it was a buffet. Well,
but if it was at Jochen's, it had to be the steamship buffet,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Liver and onions.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's what he did. That's what, and then he would go.
Yeah.
Of course, if one of the three of us went, he would sit with everybody else. He didn't have to sit at the head table.
Every in Portsmouth back in the day, Jeff, everything was at Jochen's restaurant. And it was always the steamship buffet, yeah. Usually.
Steamship, how do you remember that?
if it's going to get me far in life, it's not here. It's all the useless information that's up here. But it was always a big hunk of beef at the end of the table. It was baby shrimp,
yep.
Mashed potatoes, yeah. Brown gravy. Yep. But I tell you what, that was the place to go.
Yeah.
That was the place to go.
It was the place to go. Yeah. Families.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
local family owned it, so it was just.
I mean, the sign's still famous.
Yeah, the sign's yeah. still there.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'd go as a family a lot,
yeah.
didn't we?
Dad? Oh yeah, no, we did.
I can
yeah.
tell you, I still to this day will miss the. I miss the mashed potatoes, the roast beef, and the brown gravy.
Yeah. No, yeah. absolutely.
Yeah.
No,
so
that's true.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
The good old days.
Yeah.
The good old days. The good old days. Right. The good old days is right.
But yes, one of the other pieces too is the ones that your dad. Wouldn't go to. There was a quote, I forget who it was from, that would say that your mother would grab something for your dad
for yeah. food
for food.
No yeah. question.
Yeah,
says, she'd go out with a plate and a napkin over.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so I thought that was cool.
John will love this.
Yeah.
Oh, Eileen, let me get you a plate. We can get that for you for John.
That's awesome.
The thing about him, and we'll probably get into it a little bit more, but when they started putting the council on TV,
yep.
and I can remember, obviously I was there, high school, whatever, and when he'd sit in the chair and watching the council meetings, he he would die at some of the stuff some of the people would say, and he couldn't wait for her to come home to say what he thought about certain people. It was, you know, back then
right on.
It was when they first started putting those on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, they still do it, but back then, I think it was more of a thing for people to watch. It was, you know, it was back in those days. It was,
yeah.
I think I'm talking about even when City Hall was across from the Connie Bean Center.
See, and that's my earliest memories of it.
Yeah,
and
in that new chamber in the back.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And my first memories as a kid was wasn't a color TV. It was black and white. So,
oh, yeah.
So... Bill Keefe sitting there smoking his cigar on TV,
oh, no.
you know, in the chambers and everything else. But it was, is sports fanatic happy, and I'm glad he was, my dad was, that it was, and I want to say council nights were Monday night,
yeah.
if I understand
yeah,
it correctly.
Yeah, no, Monday night, yeah.
So it was always, he was watching that.
Oh, yeah, no.
He was always watching that if he wasn't down at Larry.
Right.
Then summer was a little bit more. He's down at Larry with the Legion and
absolutely.
Some of the other
no,
stuff
he was
going
doing
on.
All that
he,
stuff.
He went to most football games.
Oh, he was the announcer.
No,
oh,
no, dad.
Yeah.
dad.
I thought it was his
too.
Dad.
Yeah.
So I mean, but yeah, it the city council was an event. I mean,
yeah.
his local people on TV. And to your point, yeah, you have ABC, NBC, and CBS. That's all. There's no streaming, Jeff.
Nothing.
No, nothing.
nothing.
And it was 13 channels. Well, you know what I mean. It was.
Yeah.
And
local yeah. government, whatever they called it then at the time.
Yeah.
Channel 12, wasn't it?
Channel 12,
yeah.
LO, local origination TV.
Yeah.
But so dad was pretty much what, a strong pillar of a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he pretty much stayed in the background, but
very sensitive, very just a good guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, one of those kind of guys that didn't have any enemies. People go to pick and pay all the time. You
yeah.
see the
oh,
same
yeah.
people. You know, he'd like to, you know, back in those days when they go pay the pay the bill, like Regan Fuel, you went in. I used to go with him.
Yeah.
You know, you go to Regan Fuel, you pay the bill, you go to the place and give him a check
that.
Or something. It was, you know, those are the kind of things you do at them. But
And if you needed to borrow $10, we had to go to the Bank of Foley. That's what he called it, right?
Yeah, you know, he's always
always Bank
had his wallet open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not open all the way, but it opened. No, he was actually good. He was good about me. I don't know about with these guys.
Oh, that's funny.
He was good.
He gave me more because I was a girl.
Yeah, probably. I don't think he told each other how much we got.
Yeah, my mother would go away on trips a lot. And what he would do while she was gone, he'd write a poem about the evening. Well, yeah. I was teaching, because I remember I was teaching right next to Cal Scarpone. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had this terrible, terrible pain that was just absolutely, it was horrible.
I remember that.
And so I said, Dad, I said, I've got to go to the, oh, your mother's not here, your mother's not here, damn it to hell, your mother's not here, and look what happens, damn it, Eileen. And so he drove me over to the hospital. And after, you know, as quick as they do now, I had a kidney stone.
Oh, boy.
Which was why I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
So when my mother got home, on the table, there was a poem about my kidney stone. And he would call it the Rolling Stone.
Yeah, no,
I'll
that's
never
true.
Forget that. The Rolling Ode to the Ode to the Rolling Stone. He would he had a great sense of humor.
That's awesome.
He really did.
That's
and
awesome.
I don't think he had an enemy in the world.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, no? It's I think our fathers were very similar in a sense of his.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned Regan Fuel.
Yeah.
Teddy's Lunch. That same same feel when you go in. It's like, wow, this guy's my dad's liked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like I was the one thing I was grateful for is that I was smart enough to realize it in the moment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But it was
yeah. How many kids don't do that though?
No.
It's
didn't
sad.
Your dad do BBX, the games?
Yeah.
Well, I remember, God, at home, I went to St. Thomas, I didn't go to Portsmouth, but playing basketball, whatever. But before that, when I grew up, and like, you know, 11 or 12 years old, I remember him sitting at the kitchen table with the Portsmouth game on, and literally had the, you know, had the whole names and, you know, doing the scoring and by quarter.
Yeah,
you know, look, Andy. You know, he just he'd have a running score. And he'd sit there. You know, just you don't do that now.
Yeah,
he did. He really crossed it out and
you know, write down the names and, you know, Frederick Hudson, whatever.
Yeah,
back in the '60s, early '70s.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they did.
Yeah,
he might not have gone to all the games, but you listen to him.
Yep, and he started, I want to say, '65 or '66, and. But yeah, when I got old enough, I can always remember, it's like, okay, they're going, you know, my earliest memory is for my dad's stuff, and I won't digress too much before we get in here. I can just remember was, I think it was Buddy Dowd, it was like 74.
That was 74.
Yeah, Buddy and Paul Harvey and
Steve Brown.
And
Herbie DeGraff.
Jimmy Mulvey.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Jimmy Mulvey.
Well, they were my class, but I went to St. Thomas.
But these guys were like the Celtics to me in my mind. You know, it's like my father's like, and they were playing in Manchester. And it's like, oh, I'm going to the big city. And on the way home, he goes, if you give your mother a hard time in the morning getting up for school, you're not going to come again. And so I was on my best behavior going into basketball season so I could go to the away games. You know? But
if you give your mother a hard time
getting up for school.
That's a good way to point it.
Yeah. But, all right, so now let's talk about, the woman.
Yep.
The woman.
I mean, legit. I mean, her accomplishments. Okay. Mayor of Portsmouth, 8 terms.
Yep.
Longest tenure of anyone's, longest time of anyone serving as a mayor of Portsmouth.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of, real quick, I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit, but I'm trying to, you'll see where I'm trying to make sense of this. Elected to the New Hampshire Senate for 7 terms. And then when she was done, she endorsed Jim Splaine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he sat in that seat for a couple terms.
Right.
Correct?
If
I could just interject thing that I remember,
hey,
down.
You have full reign, kid.
I'm taking over this. So he's going to kill me.
Hey, let me digress for a minute, though. So how Mary Carey and I connected in the funeral biz, we'll call it, okay?
Okay.
Gene Fiske, who we both know and loved.
Yep.
He was great to my dad and you know, getting him at BBX and some other stuff. Just became very good people, and Betty is just an absolute sweetheart.
Yes.
So Gene had passed, and I hope she's okay with me mentioning this. So Mary Carey is there as an unofficial, she's gonna make sure Betty is taken care of. So about halfway into the night, I just come down and I go, hey, I want to just get your name tag. She goes, I want a name tag and I want a title and I'll work.
Somebody asked me, you're a classic at this or something.
Yeah.
And I said, really, me? He said, yeah. He says, you want to work here? And I said, well, do you need the help? And you said, no, we need you.
Well, there you go.
And that was it. And then COVID set in, and I didn't do some for a while.
Yeah, but we're back.
But we're back.
All right, so I didn't mean to cut you off.
I know, now I forgot.
It was Jim Splaine you were talking about. I think Daryl mentioned
Jim taking your mom endorsing Jim Splaine for her vacated seat.
Yeah.
And then you said, hey, can I interject for a minute? I'm taking this over, she said.
I forgot.
It'll come back.
All right. Interrupt me again, okay?
All right.
I don't mean that sarcastically
either. You can't see my face, but I'm making faces. That's good. Jeff's good. I like Jeff.
Jeff's good.
He is.
Yep.
Is it J-E-F-F or G-E-O?
J-E-F-F.
Okay.
The easy way.
Okay. I think we're going to make you a Foley after today.
Oh, please do.
You've got some time to wait.
I haven't earned my stripes yet.
All right,
I have this wrong, so I'm going to correct myself as we speak, because when I did my research and after talking, I had campaigning for presidential candidates across both parties. She was friends of people, because I'd come across a bit where, and I think we had mentioned friends of the Bushes,
mm-hmm. yep.
the Clintons,
mm-hmm.
Help me out here, McCain. And some of the other folks. And what it actually was a friendship with. Because we talked about
absolutely.
This because she
I
was a stout.
All over
I think I'm still healing the chunk she took out of me. No, my mother was a staunch Democrat.
He said, and she campaigned for Republicans. I said, "Ooh, you might have seen a handshake, honey, but I don't think we saw her out there with a sign. And she certainly wouldn't be doing it now. That's for sure."
And the one thing that really I dialed in on, one of 13 people to complete the flight attendant course, was she 81?
Yeah,
81. At Pease for
Pan Am.
81, yeah.
I don't know if she...
Were you at the graduation?
I don't know. I don't know if she had as rigorous a schedule as the rest of them.
They didn't have her jump out of them.
No.
No, they didn't do that type of thing, but she did everything else.
So what prompted her to kind of do that? Is it just, I mean, I know Pan Am started out there.
I think that's what it was. I think Pan Am started out there, and I think that...
Pease, we're talking about.
There was something said about something and... like training or something. She's like, I can do that. It was a
meeting with a bunch of big shots from Pan Am, and the president or whoever was going to take over Pease, and they were going over something like uniforms or something little like that, and said, well,
get me a uniform.
Yeah, get
something
me a uniform
like that.
Or, you know, when do I start? And she did it, and she wore the outfit. She looked so cute in the outfit, honestly.
And you don't see the similarities where give me a name tag and a title.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
awesome. And she loved it. I mean, it was just, my father would be like, oh my God, Eileen, this is too much. 81, imagine?
That's awesome.
I know.
Yeah, that's true.
I know.
But if you met, Jeff, if you met Eileen Foley, and I'm not saying this because Mary, Carrie, and Barry are here, is it's not that she just was deserving of the respect, and just without even knowing, there was just a glow about her, mm-hmm. dare I say. Mm-hmm. So, all right, so then I want to go into some of the stuff, and we can talk about some of the stories of your mom, very similar to what we talked about your grandmother. So some of the stuff, and this was upon her passing. I kind of did some research. Like Jack Blaylock, who became a mayor of Portsmouth,
yeah.
he said, I use her as a measuring stick. And this is where she was a quintessential mayor. So now all my friends know, okay, Daryl used a word. Does he even know what it means? Yes, I do. It means representing the most perfect or typical example of quality or class.
That's right.
So that's the English 101 for my friends that are saying, huh? He used quintessential and he doesn't know what it means.
That's a big one.
That's a 50 center right there. That should have gotten me in your class.
Yeah, right.
And he basically finished up his comments with the closest thing we have to royalty. And then Jim Splaine, who was also assistant mayor for your mom on a couple of her terms,
yeah.
not to mention the seat that he had. Eileen was a true people's mayor, and she was personable and very concerned about anyone's problems. So, you know, it's not, that just kind of struck me as for someone to kind of use that word, anyone, it's just speaks volumes. It speaks sort of to what kind of links back, I think, to your grandmother with she put people first.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's, I kind of, and then Ballard, who was a Secretary of State for New Hampshire, this ties a little bit tighter to your grandmother, the type of person who get people to focus on the similarities and not the differences.
That's right.
So, I mean, Christ, we could use a dose of that today.
I know.
Yeah. We could use a dose of that
today.
You're
so right.
So, let's talk about Mom. Okay. What are some of your earliest memories? What is some of the other stuff? No, I'd be remiss to also mention, I mean, I know it's been pretty well documented, but she cut the ribbon when the Memorial Bridge first opened up as a child.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then when the new Memorial Bridge opened up, who was there to cut the ribbon again?
She was right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. So let's talk about Mom, some of the stories that maybe somebody doesn't know that should know or you want to share.
My, you know, feeling about it is a lot of it with my mother, a lot of the stories that I have personally are more non-political, if that makes
yeah.
sense.
Oh, absolutely.
I've always said, you know, our brother Jay has passed, but there's only three of us. Everyone knew Eileen as a politician.
Yeah.
But only three people knew of her as a mother.
Yeah.
So, you know, she was very strict.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid growing up.
You guys both went to St. Everyone went to St. Pat's?
We all went to St. Pat's, and we all went to St. Thomas.
Yeah.
At the time, I believe, when we were at St. Thomas, or one of us, or two of us, she was on the school board at Portsmouth.
Yeah.
But we all went to St. Thomas. We didn't have a choice at that time. But there was one story about my brother. He played basketball at St. Thomas, as did I. And he would come back from an away game, and my mother would look at the, take the dirty clothes out of the bag.
Yeah.
And she would see, like, Winnicott phys ed shorts. Well, they played Winnicott, and my brother obviously took them from the locker room, pulled them through the locker and stuck them in his bag.
Yeah.
So my mother would take the shorts, wash them, and mail him back to the school and apologize for her son.
No kidding.
Yeah. Those were little things that she would
yeah.
do.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
People would never know, you know.
That's right.
And I used to struggle in math a little bit, and she would help me.
Yeah.
And I always wondered how she always could get the answers right. but I never could figure it out. Well, I found out later that she got the answer book from the high school. It was the exact same book. And she always had them right, and that made me look good. I didn't know what I was doing. She had them all right. She'd pull out the book. I found it later. Exact same book.
That's awesome. That is so classic.
You know, there's a lot of stories like that. No, she wasn't easy at home.
No.
She wasn't a good cook.
Really?
A lot of Art's Pizza.
Nothing wrong with Art's Pizza.
A lot of Yolkins.
Yeah, she made a mean fish chowder, though.
Yeah, she made a couple of things there, but
she wasn't a good
she
cook.
Was, it was just a unique, having her in politics, but, you know, just being around the house and the people that would come in the house and, you know, the political people, and I'd be out cutting the lawn and, oh, I can't remember the senator from, she'd just be sitting out front talking to not Judd Gregg, but it was another one there. It's just, I can't remember the guy's name. Warren Rudman.
Warren Rudman.
Okay. Just different people around, and you know, it just the way it was as a kid. You know, you just
it's just another day at the Foley estate.
Yeah.
Just another day. But I know Mary has. We all have tons of stories about that kind of stuff.
So I learned something. She wasn't much of a cook. In our
was not a much of a cook. She was not a cook. Very little.
Daryl.
Yes.
Neither am I. And I showcase my microwave every night. Okay?
So no Art's Pizza?
No Art's Pizza. No. No, 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 no. No. Lots of salad.
Yeah, there you go.
One thing that I knew but I had forgotten, I mentioned it to Barry, when she was city clerk, Portsmouth city clerk, she and my dad decided to get married.
Yes.
And they would, and then she signed her own marriage certificate, which I had forgotten about because she was city clerk, you know.
And that's another photo that's kind of a great photo, is your mom signing, signing the acceptance of the, it was because a city clerk at that time wasn't an easy job, right? This was like 47.
Yeah.
So your grandmother or her mom was the mayor at the time, so there's a photo where she's signing the acceptance of the city clerk position.
That
might
could
have
be.
Been.
Yeah, there is. I know.
Might have been.
Yeah, in the research, there is a photo where your mom is with her mom, Mary Dondero.
Yeah,
and she's signing the acceptance of that position because it also talked about how it wasn't a thing. People weren't grateful of the job of all the work that it entailed.
Right.
At the time.
Right.
I mean, now I'm sure it's streamlined with different departments, that thing, you know, and everything else. But yeah, there was that photo. And I see now, too, I kind of thought they got married at the Wentworth, or the reception was at the Wentworth.
They got married at the Immaculate Conception.
Yes.
But the reception was at
the Wentworth.
Yeah, and there I am today.
And how... Exactly. That's the
I worked
full circle.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The full circle. How many people were in that wedding party? I saw a photo.
Oh my God. 15.
I was going to say 10, 12.
On each side.
Yeah.
We're talking because
they went by horse and buggy.
From
the Immaculate, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know where my father was, probably at the American Legion having a cocktail. Right?
One other thing about my mother that I just thought of it. Was when I was at St. Pat's, like doing my homework, and I'd give it to her to correct it. When I'd get it back, my father used to always joke that written on the inside would say, "Good work, Eileen."
Yeah.
I turned it in a C, I got it back as an A.
Yeah.
There are some benefits, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He did say that.
I know he did.
That's funny.
Yeah, I can see her now with the three of us at different times sitting at the kitchen table with one of those little lights and teaching us multiplication and, you know. It's almost like she knew what the nuns were going to be teaching us the next day and gave us a crash course so we'd be the smartest kids in the class for multiplication.
I remember when my parents didn't do a lot together with us, with kids. She was always at meetings and stuff, whatever. But I remember they went to parent-teacher conference at St. Thomas, and I was taking Spanish 2. And I came back and from when they came home, and I said, "How'd everything go?" And my mother looks at me and she says, "Well, Father and I sat down with Sister Ernesta, and she said, Barry, I'm going to pass Barry for Spanish 2, but I'm not recommending him for Spanish 3. So I got through that one.
That's okay. You weren't going to take Spanish 3 anyway, were you?
No, probably not.
No.
Oh, that's funny. I remember a teacher saying, "I'm going to pass you just so I don't get you back next
year."
Right.
Right.
Oh, God. So how, and Jeff and I were talking, and one of the things that he kind of brought up as wondering is, and we're not going to talk politics, we just kind of want to see how the relationships develop. Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
How did that friendship develop? Was that when she was with McIntyre that they, because I mean...
No.
Okay. How did that...
She received a phone call from... Now, I'm trying to think how it did go. No, the office, his office called... Portsmouth,
yep.
And said Senator Biden is going to be coming into Portsmouth just to kind of look around. He may be running for the White House. And she said, "Oh, good." And they,
what year was this, if you don't mind me asking? I need to interrupt. What year was that kind of?
Well, it was
early 80s.
It was 84, 85, okay.
Yep.
And so the people from Biden's office had said, where does he start? This is it. Where should he start? In New Hampshire, where?
Yeah.
And whoever was given the information said, all roads to the White House go through Eileen Foley. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
So I went with her.
Yeah.
And we met over at... Prescott Park, and then that evening there was a get-together, but we had some time by ourselves with them, and we just, both of us were just, wowed. We've never met somebody quite like that.
Yeah.
When we were talking, I went kind of like this to my mother, and she just, because we had met other candidates, and I went like this to her, in other words. This is mine. She said, "That's mine too." We knew. We just knew. Yeah. He had it all.
Yeah.
He had it all.
Yeah.
So, and then...
he was Delaware, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Delaware, okay.
And we never let go.
Yeah.
We never let go of him, and he didn't let go of us.
Yeah.
And...
Case in point, I hope you're okay with me divulging this, was it 2 years ago where you watched the fireworks from?
Mm-hmm.
It was 2 years ago, Rose Garden, White House.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. But speaking of that, I was with him at Maggie Hassan's house in Exeter, and for a fundraiser, and he was there. And I had my car. He came with the other people, his staff.
Yeah.
So after it was over, I said, "Okay, well, I'll see you in Portsmouth." He goes, "Wait a second, you got your own car?" I said, "Yeah." He said, said to the guys, "You guys go ahead. I'm going. I'm going to get back with Mary Carey." So we.
Is this still 80? No, this must be later on.
Yes.
Yeah, because okay.
Yeah, so we got in the car, so we're heading toward Portsmouth from Exeter, and I said, "Senator, I'd like to ask of you a favor," and he said, "Sure. That's whatever you want." I said, "We're coming up on the cemetery." Did I tell you that?
No.
"We're coming up on the cemetery." I said, it was pitch dark.
Yeah.
I said, "Would it be okay if we stopped at my father's grave and say a prayer?" And he said, "Absolutely." So he pulls up, entourage is coming through Calvary Cemetery, and they go, "What the hell is she?"
This is Calvary at night?
Yeah, at night. At night. He said, "Are they behind?" I said, "Are they behind us?" I said, "Oh my God, there's like five black cars." So we get up to the grave, and he said, he talked to my father out loud. So I said, "You raised a nice a nice woman here. Mm-hmm. She's smart. She's kind. Mm-hmm. She's very much like Eileen. He said, "I just wanted you to know that." And I'm very I'm very proud of her. Just as he was finishing, it was July 3rd, just as he said the last word, the fireworks went off.
From
and
the
it was this big,
yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, it was just, it was yeah. really something. He yeah. said, because he had just said, "I'm very proud to be associated yeah. with your daughter."
Yeah.
Very proud.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool.
And the fireworks were crazy. You know? Remember Danny and Mark? They're like, "Mary Carey, what was that?" I said,
"Oh yeah."
I didn't drug him. I mean, he went of his yeah. own accord, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
a good story.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
That's a great story. What else? I mean, so there's one other piece I want to kind of sort through, and maybe you know, maybe you don't. So you have your grandmother
mm-hmm.
doesn't finish eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Mom gets educated in Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
What brought her to Syracuse? Because I mean, I don't know. I mean,
Catholic.
Okay, but I guess my question is, because I didn't, you know, when we went to the college fairs when I was a senior, I knew I wasn't going to college, you know. I went to Continental Cablevision University because right after I got my diploma, I was at work. I was just telling Jeff this, you know, I'm glad my path took the trajectory that it did. I'm very, very comfortable where I am. I'm very glad for what I did. And I think there were lessons learned each step. But I knew I wasn't going to a four-year school, but college fair night was a chance to get out on a school night with some buddies.
Yeah.
So how does she get Syracuse that time? How was it a college fair that she went to select Syracuse?
I don't know.
I don't know.
She might have got a scholarship. But she paid for it, and she used to work in the waiter. She was a waitress there.
Yeah.
She waited on tables at some restaurants to help
up there.
To help pay for it. And then she worked with, it's actually kind of funny, the guy that turned out to be a Hall of Fame football coach at Michigan State, Duffy Daugherty.
Okay.
Yeah, she actually worked with him in the kitchen, I think, there or something. There were some stories to that or something. But what's ironic is my daughter, Bryn, went to Syracuse.
No kidding.
Yeah, so she graduated in like, 10 years ago, 12, whatever.
Wow.
So it was kind of funny. My mother graduated in the 40s.
Yeah.
And so she went there afterwards. So.
That's awesome.
And then like 40 or 50 years later, I took her back. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you took her.
Take her back to Syracuse.
I did. The two of us, we went, and she started to cry when she went into the chapel.
No kidding.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, it was brought it all back.
Yeah,
it was really,
nice school.
We had a good time. Yeah. We spent a lot of money in the college store.
Bookstore.
Yeah, the bookstore. Yeah. With Syracuse for everything. It's orange. It's like all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah,
orange is my favorite color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, but that's awesome. That's awesome.
The other thing I wanted to back up just for a minute.
Okay.
So, Jeff, instead of all the things that the other things the Vice President, I mean, President Biden said back then, I remember distinctly now. He said things, and then he said, thank you, John, for raising a wonderful daughter. That's mm-hmm. what he said.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe you can get that in. Thank you for raising a wonderful daughter.
So what was it? I mean, and there's something that kind of struck out to me, because when you first told me that struck me, is when you got up close to see him at the Rose Garden, and he... You actually had a couple moments with them.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So it wasn't just a, hey, here's your invite and be done with it, you know?
No. We took a nice walk. Because he was walking around with me, and he said, "Is there anything else that you've seen on TV that you want to see?" I said, "Well, I heard you had a Rose Garden." So we went out. I said, "Would you show me the Rose Garden?" He sure did. We walked right out there, just the two of us.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, what else do you guys want us to know about Mom,
We were
Dad,
lucky. The three of us were lucky kids.
Yeah.
I had a Barry and Jay had their relationships with Dad, mm-hmm. obviously, and with Ma.
Yeah.
But I was my mother's daughter. I tried to be like her.
Yeah.
As much as I could, and I learned so much about being generous and kind and helping people. You know, she would sit by the hour in Tom McIntyre's office at the post office when she worked for him, and she loved that job because she had the power of Washington, D.C. to help her make all these things happen for people. Like, you know, I need to get my son home, his father died. She could do it.
And just so we're clear, so some people, again, my friends, I'm going to clarify this and correct me if I'm wrong. Tom McIntyre was a U.S. senator, not a state senator, and had an office at the federal building, which is what the post office used to be.
Yes,
that's right.
On the second floor. She ran his office.
Yeah.
At the same time, there was an overlap when she was in the Senate. So when the Senate used to run for 6 months, I believe, and then it was off 6 months.
Yeah.
So when she worked for Senator McIntyre, when the session for the Senate started, she used to have to resign, theoretically.
Yeah.
And she would do that, and then she would go back on after the payroll after. So that's how, you know. So it was, I think the Senate at the time was different hours, you know, sessions, whatever. So
Yeah. Well, you say you guys were lucky. I think Portsmouth was lucky too, though. And I forget what the quote was. Not franchise, not institutionalized, but memorialize Mary Carey's, Dondero's contributions to the city, and and hence the naming of the school. And to your point, Barry, it stays forever. And just so, also my research shows, Dondero is ranked 22nd of all elementary schools in New Hampshire. I don't know how many elementary schools there are, but that's pretty impressive the school staff that's out there, as well as, you know, I don't know. I think it's a continuing excellence and legacy. So
that's right. You know, that's awesome.
I can't thank you guys enough for coming.
Thank you.
We enjoyed it. You learned a lot.
I you know, it's funny. I enjoyed learning because it's Barry. I don't know if you remember this, but my one year of playing men's basketball, you and I were on the same Sons of Italy team.
Probably were. I forget. Yeah, I think now that you say that.
It was you, me, Kevin Zimprini, Dave Frederick, God rest his soul.
Yeah.
That's right, Dave Frederick.
And we played on the Sons of Italy team.
But with Rusty?
Rusty was on there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, I remember.
So,
God, that was a long time ago.
I'll never forget Dave Frederick. Listen, I know you shot an awful lot in rec league. He says, this is the men's league, and if I'm open, I better get the ball.
Yeah. No, that's Dave.
You know, but...
Geez, you're talking...
82?
80, I was going to say early 80s.
Early 80s. It had to be 82. It was... I was playing with... You know, at that time, I may have been about 130 pounds. The only thing I had going for me was speed.
Yeah.
You know,
I was quick. Yeah, oh yeah. I graduated.
He's only 10 pounds heavier now.
Yeah. Bless you.
Geez, you got a good memory, Daryl.
Oh, but I remember it because it was just like, this was an aha moment for me. Playing with you guys, I mean, Barry, there's Dave, there's Kevin, there's Rusty, and it's like, just don't screw up, Daryl. That's what my mind was saying. And don't embarrass your father. That was kind of what it came down to.
Right.
I used to love to listen to... I always used to wonder, like, when... I have to admit, I would listen. I'd drive into school and your father would do the sports on BBS.
Yeah.
And I was hoping he'd say my name on the air. And sometimes, you know... And I'm saying, how did he know, like, I got X amount of points, whatever?
Yeah.
Well, your father... I'm sure the first thing he did when he left your house early to go to BBX to do the sports, picked up a union leader.
Well, let me tell...
Because that's where all the stuff was.
Well, let me tell you this. This was a crazy part, and this is kind of part of being... growing up a Frank, is there was not a night that I didn't go to bed with my father on a standard typewriter, typing his sports. The AD from St. Thomas
would call
my father.
Okay, and they give him, okay.
And
see, that's
give
how
him
they
every,
did it back then.
That's how he did it. And that phone would be ringing from about 10:45 until 11:30.
Okay, that's what
with,
he did.
And that's and then, so that's 6:20. I remember his time slot.
Oh,
his,
I remember listening. Yeah. Yeah, there's no question about yeah. it.
At 6:20 was his first, was the live,
oh my God.
Was the live broadcast of
oh,
a sports
I,
program.
Yeah.
And then anything else after that was recorded because my dad then...
It was a mailman.
...was blasted off to the federal building.
Yeah.
Now, Eileen's upstairs, Dwayne's downstairs.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, and he was delivering mail, so...
I missed the AM. I like radio anyway.
Yeah.
I always have. I like listening to... That's how we used to find out, you know, there was no school.
No school.
TSN.
Yeah.
We had to listen to a Dover station
yeah.
to find out
yeah.
there was no school.
And now you find out the night before and
it
hasn't even snowed.
It's not even fun. It's
yeah,
not even fun now.
You have to go online now.
Yes.
It's not fun now.
No, it's
used
not.
To be fun. You look at the TV, you know, you get the alphabetical order and you wait for P.
Right.
Well, one funny story on that.
Yep.
I remember at St. Thomas, I think it was my junior or senior year, whatever. But some reason we had school and Dover didn't. I don't know why, because usually they went by Dover because
yeah.
of the buses.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I was in a class and I used to bring a little transistor, Rich, you didn't know that. I used to bring a transistor radio to school a lot and did all kinds of
yeah.
stupid stuff. Anyways, I had open mic on. Open
oh,
mic meeting the station,
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, I remember Dover. Open mic.
So this kid that was sitting next to me, he says, "Hey, let's do something funny." I said, "Okay." So we go out. We went to the teacher. We had to go to the bathroom or something. We went out in the lobby, and Craig Hoole was his name. He called TSN and got on open mic and said, "I want to know why St. Thomas has school and Dover doesn't." While as he's talking, Sister Amunda, the principal, is in her office listening to open mic. She walks through the gym, out in the lobby, and he's on the phone, and I'm standing next to him. He's on the air.
That's awesome.
Oh, I thought Jay did that.
No! I didn't do it. The other kid did it. I was with him. I gave him the dime, probably.
Yeah, drop a dime.
So cause there's an old yeah. story.
Because back in the day, at least in Portsmouth High, you probably had the same thing. Remember the bank of phones in the lobby?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. But an open mic, though, to Barry's point, was a show that people would call in and just either rant or the phrase would be download now. Their frustrations.
Oh,
but
yeah.
the fact that you guys called
that
up.
Now.
That's a true story. Paul
that's
LeBlanc
awesome.
And I can't remember
yeah.
the other guy's name.
Open mic. Oh my God, it's bringing back some memories.
Yep. There you go.
But thank you. Thank
oh,
you
thank
for making
you.
This first episode.
Question great. For you,
yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I couldn't find any like audio of it online or any really like notes on any specifics of it, but the speech to save
yes.
the shipyard. I
oh
know
yeah,
if you could speak
that's
on that at
they,
all.
They say that that's the one that saved the shipyard was her speech.
That is.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have a copy of that.
I don't know. Did you look?
I tried looking for it online, and I know there is the place that I will not be able to pronounce.
What is it? Portsmouth?
Athenaeum.
Okay.
Athenaeum.
Yeah.
Athenaeum.
English teacher. That's
like,
why I was never in a class.
The Navy Yard has a connection to.
I know.
But I would love. Yeah, I would love to be able to hear it because I mean.
Actually, I would too. Be honest, a good
yeah.
point.
Then, but yeah, I needed.
The
you have
what?
See, Jeff, you and I are not getting
no,
in Mary Carey's class.
No, no, I want to check the
Athenaeum.
Athenaeum.
There you go.
That's downtown, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right on that corner.
I don't think I've ever been in there. That's kind of bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Well,
I haven't been in that many times.
There's a bunch of stuff on the Foley Heritage down there. A lot on your grandmother. That's where a lot of my research came
from. Can you just go in there?
Yeah, it's hours. I think it's like...
I'll have to go in there sometime.
You have? Yeah,
look
you
look at the split hours, because it's like a 10 to 2,
yeah.
Tuesday through Friday. It's not man-driven.
What's it like in there? Like,
I don't know.
It's like a library, but it's like... It's an old style library.
Yeah, it's because
the floors creak.
Yeah,
you know, it's an old building.
Because my grandparents on my mother's side, or my grandfather, I should say, on my mother's side, was a puddle docker. So, and there's pictures down there of him and his brother building lobster boats in a garage. And
I'll have to go in there sometime.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I walked by it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Just don't even think of it. Probably don't even look at it. You know,
I know.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.